Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
During one wet season in tropical northern Australia, a group of people were swimming in a river just downstream from a waterfall. The alarm was given that a wall of flood water was coming down the river. Most people left the water immediately for the safety of higher ground. One family, however, was just a bit slower than the rest. Two brothers were sitting on a rock in the riverbed. Their father called out to them to jump to him. One jumped and was saved. The other hesitated and was swept away by the rapidly rising water. Often news broadcasts carry stories of people who haven't respected the forces of nature or taken needless risks. It's then the task of trained emergency services people to look for the dead bodies. In this instance, after hours of searching, they found the boy alive, but a very long way downstream. The emergency recovery people were more shaken by the mercy of God in this case than if they had found the child dead. King Saul didn't respect God or the prophet Samuel as he should have done. As king, Saul had in his own mind grown to think that he was the most important person in all Israel. To do each royal task correctly, Saul needed to rely on God's guidance through Samuel. When Saul, however, tried to take over Samuel's role of prophet, the friendship between King Saul and Samuel was shattered. Samuel told King Saul how foolish he'd been to offer a sacrifice to God himself rather than wait for Samuel to come. In the Bible book of 1 Samuel chapter 13, Samuel said that if Saul had done everything God had commanded him, God would have made his kingdom to last forever. But after Saul's disobedience, Samuel made the prophecy that God would take the kingdom of Israel from his family and give it to someone better than Saul. Samuel and Saul parted that day and travelled in opposite directions to each other, both physically as well as spiritually. How many people do you know who have no respect for our Creator God? There are millions of people who try to live their lives without any help or guidance from God at all. Worse still, some people of influence teach others that God doesn't even exist. In the Bible book Romans chapter 11, we're taught to praise God. How great are God's riches? How deep are his wisdom and knowledge? Who can explain his decisions? Who can understand his ways? As the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 40 say, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give him advice? Who has ever given him anything so that he had to pay it back? For all things were created by him, and all things exist through him and for him. To God be the glory for ever. Amen. King Saul stationed his small troop numbers at a central location in Israel, but the Israelite people were continually troubled by raiding parties from the Philistines camped further north. So strong was the Philistine control over Israel that the farmers were required to get the Philistine blacksmiths to sharpen their ploughs, hoes, axes, and sickles. One day, King Saul's son Jonathan took matters into his own hands.
I tell you that the Lord has rejected King Saul. Otherwise, his efforts to arouse the people to answer his call to the color would have results. But it hasn't. Now he has only 600 men left in the army.
May I talk to you a few minutes?
Oh, of course, Master Jonathan.
Come along with me, then. I wish to talk in private. You are my armor-bearer. You've been a faithful and loyal armor-bearer. You appear to be a man of faith and prayer.
I believe there is no limit to what God can do.
I can trust you?
Absolutely, Your Highness.
I've had a sudden impulse to make a secret attack upon the enemy's camp.
You, sir, are the son of King Saul. You are the crown prince, but you are also a man of God. If you attack the enemy, please take me with you.
Oh, just what I was hoping you'd say. It may be that the Lord will work for us in saving Israel from the Philistines, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.
I shall be honored to go with you.
We must not let my father, the king, know that we go.
Oh, I understand, Your Highness.
No one must know. They'd tell father, and we'd be stopped.
Do you have a plan of an attack, Your Highness?
Sort of plan, yes. We will go down into the gully separating the two camps. At the proper time and place, we will reveal ourselves to the Philistine sentries. If they say unto us, stay there until we come down to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go out to them. But if they say, come up here to us, then we will go up, and the Lord will deliver them into our hands. This shall be a sign unto us.
Secretly leaving the camp, the armor-bearer and his prince passed down into the gorge separating the two armies. Silently threading their way under the shadow of the cliff, partially concealed by the mounds and ridges of the valley, they approached the Philistine fortress situated on a protruding rock far above them.
Your Highness, if they do call for us to come up, how are we going to scale that cliff? It goes straight up.
I know of a secret passage. It's difficult, but we can make it all right. The Philistines consider it inaccessible, and consequently do not have it well guarded.
Your Highness, I have been thinking and praying, and I feel sure that God will bless us, and that his angels will fight by our side.
Are we ready to reveal ourselves to the sentries up there?
I am ready, Your Highness.
Spiritually and physically?
Yes, Your Highness.
Then let us step out and bravely face whatever befalls us. I think they see us. Yes, they do.
Well, well, behold the Israelites come out of the holes where they hid themselves. You must be very brave, Israelites. So come up here, and we will reward your bravery.
It is the sign, Your Highness. The Lord shall deliver the Philistines into our hands.
Follow me. We will disappear behind that mound. The sentries up there will think we flee. But instead, we will make our way up that secret path I spoke of, and suddenly we will appear, slay the unsuspecting sentinels, and penetrate into the enemy camp.
Listen, I hear something. Fighting. Now, who could be fighting? Scribe, fetch General Abner here to me at once.
You sent for me, Your Majesty.
I hear fighting. What is it? Who fights and why?
It comes from the Philistine camp, Your Majesty. They seem to be fighting amongst themselves, killing each other.
The Philistines fighting and killing each other? Impossible.
There is great confusion among them, Your Majesty, and they are being killed. Their numbers decrease rapidly.
There's more to this than meets the eye. Have any of our soldiers left camp?
I do not know, Your Majesty.
Well, find out at once.
Long live the king.
Sire, all are present and accounted for, except Crown Prince Jonathan and his armor-bearer.
Just as I suspected. He has done this in secret without my permission, but... General, sound assembly. Since Jonathan has so successfully routed the enemy and done havoc among them, we will take advantage of the situation and join in the assault.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's that?
It sounds like thunder, Your Majesty. But it can't be. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Then what is it?
Undoubtedly, Your Majesty, it is lightnings and quakes of the earth from God in aid of His Highness Jonathan to subdue the Philistines.
Oh, a miracle! Quickly assemble the men and charge the enemy while they are still in a state of confusion and panic.
Saul led his small army in the assault against the Philistines. As the news spread, those Israelites who had fled to the hills and mountains and those who had deserted to the enemy came forth and joined with Saul in committing terrible havoc upon the fugitive Philistines. So the Lord, through his servant Jonathan, saved Israel that day, proving beyond a doubt that salvation is a matter of individual choice and action, and not so much a mass movement. Jonathan depended not upon himself, his weapons, or his armor-bearer, but upon the unlimited power of God.
Why did Jonathan sneak away from the Israelite camp without permission of his father, the king? Within a family, each person knows the other's character and weaknesses. Jonathan must have known that Saul was out of fellowship with God, and wouldn't seek his divine directions for dealing with Israel's problem. And it certainly was a serious problem if the Israelite farmers had to pay the Philistine blacksmiths to sharpen their tools for work. Have you ever heard of the word procrastinate? It means putting off or delaying taking action. Procrastinating means we put off a job we could do today until a later time. Saul delayed making any move against the Philistines. So in faith, Jonathan trusted God to help them, and God most certainly did. When the Lord Jesus walked on earth, he taught deep respect or reverence for his heavenly Father. Jesus prayed often to God. He also gave thanks to God many times and ultimately entrusted God with his own spirit when dying. By contrast, Saul's respect for God and his prophet Samuel continued to decrease to a point where Samuel was afraid King Saul would kill him. How about you? How strong is your respect for God and his word, the Bible? Respect for God includes not using his name like a swear word. In the Bible book Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus taught that God's name is to be honored. If you hear a person exclaim, "Oh God," and the rest of what they say has nothing to do with God, then this is the wrong use of God's name. Some children grow up in secular families and hear their parents say wrong words about God all the time. Believers in the Lord Jesus must resist the temptation to let such words come out of their mouth and banish the habit as soon as the thought comes into their mind. If this particular sin is a problem to you, confess it to God and ask him to take away the natural desire to react to some mishap in this wrong way. That was Paul Baloche singing "Let the Words of My Mouth." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it. But be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.